This is GM Authority Weekly, episode 73, recorded on September 13, 2011. GMC, Frankfurt, and much more. GM Authority Weekly is brought to you by the GM Authority News Desk for the latest independent General Motors news, analysis, and a whole lot more. Visit gmauthority.com. You can subscribe to this podcast for free. Try searching for GM Authority Weekly in the iTunes Store. It's time for GM Authority Weekly, the show that covers the General Motors universe and a whole lot more. We have the regular panel of GM Authority Weekly co-hosts with us this week, starting with Manoli Katakis, the GM Authority Editor-in-Chief. Manny, how about them Detroit Tigers?
How about them Tigers, man? They are on a roll today. I just watched their 12th victory in a row. It was a thriller against Chicago. They were down pretty much the whole game. They roared back in the eighth and the ninth, went into extra innings, and ended up winning it in Chicago. So good job for them. Longest winning streak since the 1930s, which is, I mean, obviously that's saying something. So I'm rooting for them. They've obviously pretty much got their division, the AL Central, under wraps. They could clinch the division in a week, and they're running. They pretty much just run away with it, and I'm rooting for them to go all the way.
Excellent. My question is, does GM on the Rensen, do they have their logo on it?
They had it on opening day. They'll probably have it during the playoffs, though, I imagine, because that's what they did with the Wings.
Right.
It's just a great time to be a Detroit sports fan right now, because you got the Tigers doing so well. Detroit Lions, they won their first home opener since 2000, or not home opener, but season opener since 2007 against a good Tampa Bay team, which was really, and that was also an exciting game to watch. You got Michigan, who just won a huge game against Notre Dame, just a thriller, absolutely amazing. First night game at the Big House, which is, that's saying a lot. You had over 114,000 people in attendance in that stadium. Just absolutely crazy. And then you had Michigan State blowing out FAU, actually, 44-7. And then they have Notre Dame next weekend. State's 2-0, Michigan's 2-0, Lions 1-0, and Wings are coming up. I got tickets to their the home opener against Ottawa.
You lucky
October
dog.
7th. I know. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, it's just an all the more reason to embrace this city. And because there's an NBA lockout happening, you know, you don't have to really worry about the Pistons sucking so much. So
yeah, exactly.
It's all positivity up here.
Good. I think Detroit needs more of that. GM Authority Opinion Desk writer Hilton Jorsen's also here with us. Hilton, do you share as good a news sports-wise as Manoli does? Can you bring us that kind of good news from Canada?
No. Oh. I'm just gonna let Manoli, you know, bask in his glory right now, because, you know, funny things happen in October, but we'll just wait till that comes along.
You're just saying that because the Wings happen to be playing Ottawa on the season.
Yeah. Opener. So that extra ticket you have is mine, right?
I'm going with a group, but if someone drops out.
Okay.
We could arrange for that, just so you know.
Because if you guys, like, I can wear my Sens jersey, and you guys can all wear your Wings jerseys, and then I'll just be in the middle of that whole group.
Yeah, I mean, you...
Would you get beat up? Would Hill get beat up if that were the case?
No, because the Wings don't have a beef with the Senators. If he was wearing, like, a Crosby jersey, which, shame on you if you do, or, like, an Avs jersey or a Sharks jersey, you know, we might have problems. Mm-hmm. Or of course, a Blackhawks jersey.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, before we go on, I'd like to offer our sincerest condolences to another sports team, the Lokomotiv ice hockey team that crashed outside of Moscow just last week. And all the players, unfortunately, passed away. But, you know, it's really a tragic event. And There were players from the NHL there, and it was a KHL team, KHL league. Manny, you knew Ruslan Soleil from having played and with the Wings, and he was a personal family friend of ours. So it's just kind of difficult on the entire hockey community to have experienced that. So just our most sincerest condolences to, or our most sincere condolences to, the Lokomotiv players and their families for their losses. It's just bad. Don't really have a transition after that, you know. It's kind of difficult to make one. So let's
we'll do this podcast for them. It'll be a really good podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get this show on the road.
Why don't we talk about what we always talk about in the beginning, which is the GM Authority Garage. I believe we have quite a few vehicles to talk about, but
The best thing about it is we have, you know, no Fords.
No Fords this time around? I mean, I can introduce one if you'd like. I just drove the Focus.
No, but see, and you know, this is why we have to tell our listeners the reason why I wasn't on the last show, because the last two shows before that were just all Ford, Ford, Ford. And so, like, you know, if you're going to talk about Ford's GM Authority, I'm not doing the next show. Forget it.
Hilton basically protested.
What did you do in the next show? You did the SHO. You started talking about that car. I said, like, forget it. I'm not doing the show. So this week you said no Fords. You promised me. Here I am.
Exactly. That's exactly how it went down.
Hilton's back.
Minute by minute. So.
By the way, guys, have to say that, if we miss a week now of doing this show, you know, we get tons of emails. And surprisingly, it's a lot of GM people saying, hey, where's that show?
Right. Exactly.
Say that again.
I said they're looking for our advice. They don't have anything to do in those board meetings without our advice.
Well, I mean, you know, the funny thing is, it's from everywhere. It's from the plants, both the union guys, the plant management. It's from Detroit. It's from regional people. So it's kind of nice, but you know, we can't be missing a show here and there because people go through withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. And, occasionally Manny tells me, like on a Friday night, he gives me a call and says, yeah, Alex, yeah, I'm going to need you to come in tomorrow on Saturday. Yeah. And get those TPS reports done. So, and I do my best to get those done with the cover sheet, and I got the memo about the cover sheet, Manny, by the way, so you don't have to send me that again. Nevertheless, let's talk about the Buick Regal GS. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
What about that GS?
I was in Traverse City not too long ago. Got to drive it. This thing, just want to say that it looks like the Insignia OPC. Pretty much is, except it's got a different powertrain, and you can't get it in all-wheel drive. Some people see that as like, you know, a deal breaker, but really, this thing didn't really need it. The Hyperstrut system was amazing. There was minimal, if any, torque steer, and this was something with 295 pound-feet of torque. That was pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah, they did a really good job of minimizing torque steer. But don't let anyone talk you into believing that this thing is fast. It's not that fast in a straight line. 0 to 60 in, I believe, 6.7 seconds.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's not very propulsive. But when you start to get it to carve around the hills and the mountains and the winding roads that were in Traverse City and just around the surrounding area, that's when the car really comes alive, and this thing will take a turn, and it'll, like, with enthusiasm, fantastic. It comes with Brembo brakes, and it'll stop the car with authority. This thing felt like a performance sedan. You know, Buick stigma aside, this thing really did the trick. The cabin layout, I guess obviously I want to say it's German because it is a German interior. I love the steering wheel. The seats were pretty good, if not a bit too beefy I thought that maybe that they could find a way to maybe make the seats a little thinner, because you do lose a little bit of rear leg room because of the seats are so big. I also kind of wish that maybe they would have spiced it up a little bit, because there's way too much black in there. They have like that cool like piano black paneling and stuff, and I'm a fan of that stuff. I hate wood paneling, but then it's nice to just the black leathers and everything. I thought that maybe they would do like a maybe even option have an option of like white paneling or aluminum, more aluminum usage,
or even what they did on the Verano.
Yeah, or even on the Verano. It's just like I thought it was just way too monochromatic.
I'll tell you that black piano finish.
Yeah.
If it's the same black piano finish as that they have in the Cruze, you know, in the center stack there, I discovered today that it's easily scratchable, even with like your nail. So I hope there's some kind of an improvement or a replacement, but I'm just not a fan of that black piano stuff.
I'm a fan of the way it looks. I mean, I didn't exactly test the quality.
I like the way it looks. I just the durability sucks. But go ahead. I didn't mean to talk about a little tiny little component.
Right. Okay. Well, I also really like the transmission. This thing was. I don't know if it was because I'm just used to driving stick shift cars with a lot of torque, like the Camaro SS, CTS-V. But this thing was just. I mean, silky smooth. Throws were maybe a tad long, but this thing was just like in and out of gear. It was, I mean, I could have taught like my 16-year-old sister how to drive stick in this thing, and it wouldn't be scary. Like she probably would get it. And I think like for that reason, this is a car that is a thrill to drive, but it's not gonna kind of like send anyone off because it's like, you know, it's too powerful. Or it's got a layout that they're not familiar with. Because front-wheel drive, I mean, most cars are front-wheel drive. So this car is approachable. And, of course, it's easy to drive, even though it has a third pedal. And it has white-knuckle driving characteristics. You know, you've got all these different driving modes. You got just the normal mode. Every time you turn the car on, it's in normal. And then you got sport, and then you got GS mode. And GS mode is really, you know, if you want to do some hoonage, that's where you're going to spend most of your time. And it's just a great choice for those looking to test the waters in the sport luxury segment. And I honestly can't wait to drive it again. This thing, when you want to look at a direct competitor, there's maybe the TL and the Audi A4. Audi A4, believe it or not, even though that it's considered more of a C-segment car, it's got a longer wheelbase than the Regal. You're looking at 110.
But just by an inch or so.
No, 110 to 107.
Oh, okay.
It's like 3.5 inches.
Well, you know why that is, right?
Yeah, I think to minimize understeer or oversteer.
Well, either way, the way what Audi did with those A4s with that their new longitudinal platform, mm-hmm. they've actually, you know, in the Regal you have the transversely mounted, you know, powertrain. Mm-hmm. In the A4 and all the Audis practically, you have a longitudinally mounted engine. So they were able to stretch the wheelbase without actually lengthening the actual length of the car, which is pretty cool.
Well, the layout, but they also the purpose of that was I think to minimize the understeer.
Well,
because
that and with the
Quattro system.
I thought it was more of a goal to increase or to improve the front to rear weight distribution as well.
Well, the only thing, my only comment to this car is, you know, I would have liked to see them bring that all-wheel drive here to North America. But, you know, it is a great car, but I would like to see that all-wheel drive and a little bit of sophistication. Like, you know, the Infiniti, you know, their all-wheel drive system is intelligent. All-wheel drive, and you know that's something I see pretty fitting in a Buick. So time will tell. See how well this car sells as it is now, and if we will get, you know, drivetrain to the four wheels, because out there in Europe.
I have a feeling that 2.8 V6, the turbocharged 2.8 V6 in the OPC is on its way out, and. That's also what's giving the OPC, the, you know, the reasons to implement all-wheel drive. You don't need all-wheel drive in this car. There's like, there's no torque steer. There's no wheel spin. And if you wanted to launch this car, even with the all-wheel drive, all the all-wheel drive is going to do with that 2-liter 4 is just add more weight. So instead of going from 0 to 60 in an already kind of average 6.7, you're probably looking at maybe 6.9, 7 seconds because of the weight. So engineers, I think, I mean, having driven this car, they were right in not implementing it. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are going to be upset for at Buick for having the car being what it's not, and just kind of looking at it for what it actually is, and it's just a home run front wheel drive car, and that anyone can drive, that anyone can get into. If you want, if, you know, say you're scared of rear wheel drive, say you don't want, you know, an S4 or whatever, or something that, you know, just doesn't say douchebag. You know, you don't get that douchebag stigma when you with a certain brand, you know, that you buy. Like, obviously, a lot of German car makers fall into that category. With Buick, you don't really have that, at least not yet. And I think in that regard, you're going to get a lot of people who just kind of want a solid performer and don't really want to be loud about it.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. That, first of all, interesting the way that this car is going to, it will be interesting to see how the GS performs in the marketplace. Doesn't really have any direct competitors, although the TL, for instance, you know, but the TL that it does compete with has all-wheel drive, you know, and super handling all-wheel drive for that matter. So
no, you, it's not, that's a different price point altogether.
How much is that?
That's a $40,000 plus. That's like 46 grand.
Yeah, and the GS is going to be 35, right?
Yeah, 35.
Yeah.
So you're looking at just the front-wheel drive TL, and then the A4 with the manual transmission, because it does come with the automatic. You will get an automatic with this car, but not until 6 months after its launch. And there's also the Buick IntelliLink system coming, but that's also not going to come when the car launches. It's going to be a rolling update. I think you're looking at somewhere in the vicinity of 2 to 3 months after the Regal GS actually launches, which is going to be next month. Mm-hmm. or at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, let's wait and see how it does, and you know,
the only thing it's going to do is attract more attention. If you think about it, you already have 40% of all of Buick's customers, you know, coming from Conquest, and some of them
of course they're going to come from Conquest. Where else are they going to come from? Buick?
obviously not retirement homes.
Right.
Well, no, not this is not even counting the GM family. This is outside of the GM family altogether. These are all new to GM cars.
Good, good. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know how I said that this car isn't really that loud? It still comes with 20-inch rims.
How does the exhaust note sound?
You can barely hear the damn thing.
Wow.
You have to really get on it.
It's really a quiet ride, huh?
It's quiet.
Did you notice a lot of road noise from the you know, the big wheels, the 20s?
No, there wasn't a lot of road noise. It did a good job of keeping the cabin, you know, fairly quiet. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't really any turbo lag either. I mean, this thing will spool at full torque, I think, at 20.
It's a dual-scroll turbo, so.
Yeah, it's a twin-scroll. BorgWarner makes it. And get this, it comes out with, I think, 19 PSI, which is just that's a really high number.
Yep.
Considering that you would think that this thing would be pushing out higher horsepower and torque ratings.
It is intercooled, right?
Yes.
At that point, it has to be. Yeah,
it's just I think it's just a small turbocharger.
Man, I'd love to get the cruise like 19 psi. No, that'd be nice.
Yeah,
can you imagine that? Would you like to talk about the Acadia Denali that? Followed up with that.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling. The Acadia Denali was basically, I mean, it depends on how you want to look at it. It could be just, you know, your expensive range topping soccer mom car, or it could be your like a good business class executive shuttle. It'll serve both purposes nicely. And I really appreciate the attention to detail on the exterior of the Acadia Denali. Like, if you look at it, you look at the tail lamps, you look at the headlamps, there's a lot of, like, cool designs, intricacies, etc. I loved the wheels. That gray paint job they have on it, it really makes the car stand out. Mine was in crystal red. I think it would have looked better in white diamond with those wheels, but everyone has white diamond. And I guess the demand for the Acadia Denali is it's big enough to where they're actually increasing the volume of the Acadia Denali for it to be 30% of the overall volume of the Acadia production. Huh. So a lot of people are interested in it. On the inside, I mean, it's really just a guised up Lambda. I did appreciate the 110-volt outlet in the back, along with the RSC systems. Nothing really new there. The GPS, it was a newer system, the 2012. But again, like, there wasn't really much that really changed there. It had a heads-up display, which was cool. I was actually kind of surprised.
What did it show you? Just the speed and the RPMs, or?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a standard. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Cool. I just wish that the Acadia, if it's a Denali, it needs to have a lot more differentiation, like an engine different.
Yeah, you know. I mean, that was the disappointing part. And you know what? Here's the even more surprising part, is mine didn't come standard with all-wheel drive. It was front-wheel drive.
That's weak.
Yeah, I mean, so from a powertrain and performance standpoint, there wasn't really much to offer from the Denali. It was all about looks and a little bit more creature comforts.
Yeah, that's kind of weak.
GMC Denali. GMC Acadia Denali. Professional grade. Now,
nice.
My point here is that, you know, I'm still struggling with what the hell is GMC aside from a reskinning or another optional look of a Chevy.
I think, you know, Manny got it right.
Make up your minds. Either this thing is going to be some luxury truck brand, or either it's going to be some true construction or professional grade quality trucks, mm-hmm. essentially. You know, this Denali thing, for me, it's just like, why do they have it as a GMC when you have, you know, you have Buick, who is luxury, you have Cadillac, who is luxury, and you have Chevrolet, who's value, but still offers product that can compete with this particular brand, mm-hmm. this Denali mm-hmm. brand. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just like, make up your minds. Either this is going to be, you know, a brand that's going to offer product that you cannot, like professional grade product, that you cannot buy as a Chevrolet and you cannot buy as a Cadillac. You want the best. You want the best heavy duty. You want the best true professional grade construction type of vehicle. This is where you go. You cannot get a 3.5-ton Chevy truck, but you can get it at GMC. Maybe Chevy goes maximum 1-ton truck. You want something heavier duty than that, then go to GMC. It's got more heavy duty. It's got more thoughts and creature comforts that focus on, you know, the guy who uses a truck for his work. You know, aside from now, it just, for me, it's just like, what are you doing?
Well, does professional grade always have to mean blue collar construction, lumber, contracting? Does pipe cleaning, plumbing, does it always have to be that?
I don't think so, but that's
when it always have to be about trucks.
That's when you start getting to that gray area, you know? You start getting into a very big gray area there when you start to move away from that. And that's when it kind of dilutes the brand. I mean, we talked about this. There's going to be a Terrain Denali as well, for instance, you know, mm-hmm. soon. Next year.
Like,
Then there's the Granite.
Yeah, okay, but even the Terrain, okay, the Granite's its own beast, but, you know, even the Terrain, it's still, you know, a cosmetic option to the Chev Equinox.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
It is.
The interior is the same.
So how many products put the Granite aside, how many products at GMC are similar? You know, that cosmetic option to Chevrolet.
Pretty much all of them.
So you know, if that's the case, if it's just a big marketing thing, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And people are going to freak out for me to say that, but mm-hmm. you know what? What a joke. If you're going to have this GMC here, and I drive a GMC, and some people tell me that, you know, if GMC is gone, I won't be able to drive a Yukon, and I'd be so ticked off, I'm not going to go out and buy a Suburban or Tahoe. That's ridiculous. It's the same damn vehicle. Of course I'm going to go out and buy it.
I wonder if people know that, like if the soccer moms realize that.
Nobody's that stupid today.
No, honestly. I don't know. I've met some people. I'm just saying.
Well, some people just buy GMC because they're GMC.
Well, what does that mean?
But I mean, if that's not available, what are they going to do? They're going to buy Chev. And then, you know, so you're going to get more sales on the Chev pickup, the Tahoe, Suburban.
Believe it or not, though, you get these people that are like, I'm not a Chevy guy. I'm a GMC guy. There were people with Saturn that were like, I don't want a GMC or a Chevy.
Well, Saturn was different because they were...
They were like, I wanted a Saturn.
Yeah.
I wanted the Saturn.
Saturn was different because they were meant to be, you know, a different kind of company that was not associated with GM and the rest of the, you know, the general. And that was the point, that to disassociate themselves and to distance themselves from the American, you know, monolith, so to speak, that was General Motors. So I can understand that with Saturn, but everything else, I mean, everyone knows when you buy a Chevy, you're buying a GM. When you're buying a GMC, obviously, you're buying a GM. When you're buying a Buick, a Cadillac, you're buying a GM. I think people know that. I hope people
know that. I think that comes with the territory of those companies being so old, and Saturn lived a fairly short life compared to, say, GMC, Chevy,
right.
Cadillac, and Buick.
Well, let's not forget that at some point, you know, during the 60s, I believe even before, GMC was not known as GMC. It was known as GMC truck.
Right.
Yes. So.
Well, this is it was a matter of a lot of these other divisions, Buick, Pontiac, they all had trucks, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was a matter of bringing them all under one umbrella and then offering the trucks.
Here's the deal. I think GMC isn't going to go anywhere, or it's going to change much from what it is now until we see someone with some kind of you know, marketing approach really rethink GM's distribution network. You know, because right now you have it's a cluster fest. And I really wanted to use another word at that point, but I use cluster fest of different, all kinds of different brand combinations. Like you have Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac stores all in one. Then you have Buick and GMC franchises. You have Chevy stores by themselves. You have Cadillac stores by themselves. You have like Buick, GMC, and Cadillac. You have Cadillac.
Yeah,
and,
but I mean,
you know,
okay, but yeah, but that's...
It's not going to change until that happens.
But that's on the distribution side,
right.
Sales side.
Well,
I mean, just the marketing side alone, it's a clusterfest.
Right. Yeah. Good choice of words there.
Yeah, and so I don't know what to... I mean, you guys are always talking about, bring Opel to North America. Bring Opel to North America.
That's me talking.
You know what? I say no, but I say if you get rid of GMC, then I'm willing to listen to that.
Okay, well...
And then until somebody at, you know, somebody, Mark Royce, gets a really good visionary individual to run GMC and put it into... have a vision of this brand that everybody can equate to. It's one specific purpose, its mission. Mm-hmm. It has to have a mission statement. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's got about four. So,
but see,
it's
when
just
I,
a mess.
When I bring up that distribution problem or that distribution, scenario,
yeah.
What it really boils down to is the fact that these Buick and GMC franchises. You cut GMC out, or you drastically change their product to only be trucks and these professional blue-collar vehicles, as Manny puts it. You know, they're going to be peeved because they're going to have a completely different customer base. They're not going to have anything to sell to those GMC customers. However, I think they will if you expand Buick enough, or you bring Buick up to a point where it's a full-line luxury automaker. you know, that's somewhat opposite from Cadillac, then you'll have something to offer them. Until that happens, there's no debating it.
Yeah, but another thing too is, like, if somebody really, you know, focused this on let's say professional grade, and it really, you know, you get options that are available to the GMC truck customer that are not available to the Chevrolet customer, and there's few and far between instances of that right now, then all you're trying to do is give something for these dealers to sell. I mean, that's no way to manufacture a vehicle.
That's what the Regal is. That's what the Buick Regal is.
But the Regal still, I know the Regal LaCrosse, it's like, you know, they went to the bin and said, what have we got that we can put a Buick badge on it? But having said that, these vehicles still fit the Buick image. I think they work well there. They're not trying to offer something that doesn't fit the image. Mm-hmm. Like right now with GMC, there's just multiple images here.
Here's what I think we should do. I think for the upcoming April Fools, what we should do is, or not that it's upcoming, not that it's coming anytime
soon. You
can't
tell people what we're doing for April Fool's Day.
Well, nobody listens to this anyway, so we'll just tell them.
But
I think what we'll just do is we'll do a rendering of a Buick pickup truck.
That's not a bad idea. But look, guys, you guys want to talk about like transitions and changing and stuff? Like, look.
Go ahead.
Lamborghini used to build tractors, okay? Look at them.
No, but come on. Nobody knows that. You know that because you're a car enthusiast and you're in the industry.
I'm just saying, look how far they've come.
Do you think Shaquille O'Neal, you think Shaq knows?
You think Shaq could fit in a Lambo?
He actually does. No. I've seen him.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I've seen him. They had to stretch it, like, especially for him. They had to customize it in some way. I don't know how.
Okay, well, exactly. It's tailor-made. You're not going to get that.
Do you think he knows that Lamborghini used to make tractors? I mean, he's a target market right there, you know?
No, Manoli's point, even though they went through this transition, and at the time it was rather an abrupt transition, the guy just, I forget the guy's first name, but Mr. Lamborghini just decided, you know, I'm going to build a balls-to-the-wall Lamborghini sports car, because I think he got a pissing match with Enzo Ferrari, if I'm not mistaken. But
that's exactly
anyways,
it. Yep. The guy's name is Ferruccio.
Okay. To Manny's point is, what is Lamborghini today? And is it, you know, at the end of the day, is the transition successful? Obviously it is.
Well, and does it matter where it was before?
Exactly.
A lot of people are going to say no. So
yes.
Anyway, let's move on.
Okay. All right. I think we should have a debate episode about this.
That's fine.
Okay. Let's take.
You're gonna lose Alex.
You know what I'm gonna do is we should leave the other two vehicles in the garage for next week's episode, Manny.
But, yeah, because then there's less likely you're gonna put another Ford in there.
Well, I was really thinking about putting the Fiesta in there, but I mean, I don't know. Hilton may not agree to come on at that point.
No, exactly.
I think what I'd like to do now is let people know where they can reach us by phone. Then we're gonna talk about the Opel, I don't even know how to say it, Racky, Rack-E?
I know, Racky, that's actually...
R-A-K.
Racky, that's a Greek liquor.
We're going to talk about the Opel Racky, the boxer. Let's just quickly let people know how they can reach us, and you can do so. All of our listeners can call us at 313-355-3GMA. 313-355-3462. More likely than not, we won't answer, so just leave us a message, and you know, that way on Saturdays when Manny makes me come in and you know, do those Saturday TPS reports, we'll be able to listen to those voicemails and play them on a show. So give us a call, and we'd love for you to do so. So the Opel Racky, Racky, R-A-K space E is, I think, a pretty good interpretation of a modern trike.
Yeah, except it has
four wheels.
It's
got four wheels, yeah, I know. It looks like a trike, though.
Mm.
So this thing is supposedly headed for production.
Mm-hmm.
has an electric range.
Well, no. It's got production potential.
Well, that's exactly. Yes. That doesn't mean anything.
Production potential. Right. It's 60 miles.
61 miles.
Yeah, EV range. Uh-huh. Top speed is 75 miles an hour. Seats two, but I forget what is it, longitudinal?
Yeah.
So rather instead of someone sitting next to you, they're sitting behind you.
Right.
And it kind of opens and closes like a cockpit on a fighter jet, which is pretty sweet.
Epic. You know,
if you ask me. Yeah, it's really epic.
Epic. I want to play the Top Gun, like the soundtrack.
Sorry.
3 meters long.
Yeah, so you know it's small.
That's 47 inches, which let's compare that to a lacrosse that's 197 inches in length, or like an Acadia, which is 202.
Or how about a smart car?
I don't know how long a smart car is. I have to check on that. Keep talking.
It's ridiculous. I mean, this thing is pretty much microscopic. But what it's appealing to is kind of like the young urbanite, like everyone else is trying to catch on to these millennials and these Gen Y guys because we're the new thing.
We are.
I mean, I don't know anyone else. It's.
I wouldn't buy one of these.
You wouldn't?
No.
Well, it's because you don't live in.
I guess maybe in like
a European urban environment.
I think this is somewhat similar to that Cadillac.
Urban luxury concept.
Yes, the ULC.
Well, and if you look at the competitors like from Opel, like in Frankfurt, Opel had their little Opel had this. But Audi also had a little electric car.
Right.
I think I don't want to say Volkswagen did, but Audi definitely did.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, it was like it was kind of like a theme. And then you got BMW with their i3,
right,
electric little mini car. So everyone is just kind of coming out with something different, a little different take on what a small urban electric vehicle.
But,
could be.
By the way,
in very near future.
This thing isn't 3 meters long. It's like, oh yeah, it is 3 meters long. Somebody did the calculation in the press release incorrectly. Because three meters is 118 inches.
Oh.
Is this rear wheel steering by any chance?
I don't believe so. I think it's just they're just for support.
Hmm.
It's cool nonetheless. I mean, I like the way it looks.
There's a picture of it like in a three-quarter rear view, and it kind of has the wheels in the front kind of turning to the right slightly.
Maybe it's dual drive. Okay.
Dual steering. You know what? Like if that back end just pivoted, depending upon which way you're turning the front wheel.
I think it would.
That would be cool.
I mean, I'm not a physicist, but yeah, that would be pretty cool. So 118 inches. That's I mean, that's smart car territory, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Smart 4.2 is 98 inches in length.
Okay, so a little longer. Maybe Fiat 500?
I don't know. Let me see. Stats to the rescue.
Oh, boy.
The Fiat 500 is, I have it right here. Wow.
I feel like this thing is like it should attach to something like bigger, like a jet. Because it kind of looks like the back end of
it. You attach it to your motorhome.
Like it just looks like it fits onto something.
Attach it to your motorhome. Maybe doubles as a Sea-Doo.
Do you guys pay attention to BBC Top Gear? Because they just did they converted cars into trains. They took an old Jag and then an like a late model Audi A8.
I saw that.
They put train rails on them. Track. Yeah. I don't know what the hell they're called.
The wheels.
Train wheels. But it was just.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. They might be onto something.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like a Duramax, like a GMC Sierra like 2500 single axle with the four wheel drive, hauling some cars with train wheels on it.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be nice. Let's talk about another Opel. This is the Opel Ugly, Combo.
You mean Fiat?
Yes.
but it's going to be a Ram now. too.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
It's ridiculous.
That's hilarious.
Three competing automakers are sharing the same car.
The same. It's pretty much the same exact car.
Yeah.
Just with, I mean, you want to talk about badge engineering?
Yeah, there you go.
From different automakers.
Well, Ram.
This is like the Sprinter, Mercedes, Dodge, Freightliner. What else is there? Whatever that combo is.
Yeah.
Man.
Whatever
happened to their partnership with Renault? I mean, I thought Opel was in bed with Renault with the
They just Movano. Make the Movano.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Does Renault even
make Renault has a smaller van too. Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. Maybe it's just. Maybe it's politics.
Hmm.
Usually is.
So this thing got priced, starts at €13,750. I believe at current conversion, that would be, well, let's just say 14,000. That would be about 19,000 bucks.
No, that's not, I was going to say that's a lot higher than 14 grand.
Yep.
That's just for a panel van. That's two seats and just cargo area. If you want
three rows?
If you want a few rows of seats, you want windows, you're looking at €17,650.
€1,000. Yeah, that's $24,000.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Interesting. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about this car anymore. It sucks.
And it's not New America.
No.
Yeah, just for anybody who hasn't seen this thing, it's the ugliest thing you've ever seen. So.
And some would argue, like Manny, I think, would argue that doesn't matter because it's a you know, quote, professional, you know, or a livery vehicle. But it does matter when you pull up to like a job or any kind of, you know, client with a clown looking car. I mean, this car looks like literally belongs in a circus. I think actually the circus should buy this car just to drive their, you know, drive their road stuff around, you know.
Perhaps.
I think that's the perfect car. I think it just found the perfect market for it. On a complete opposite end of the spectrum, on the Opel spectrum, we have the Astra GTC, which finally we got some performance or power numbers at Frankfurt this
yep.
week. So five different engine choices in this thing. By the way, it is going to be called the Astra GTC. We thought before it was only going to be called the GTC by itself. So it is, you know, there is a tie to the Astra family there.
You got to think too. You know they're going to build an OPC version of this, so it's like it's just too long of a name. Astra GTC OPC.
Yeah, I don't know why it's even
too many
called,
letters.
Why don't they see? I think the way it works is like you got Opel Astra Touring, then you have the Opel Astra. I think it's called the 5-door officially.
GTC stands for Grand Touring Coupe.
Okay, that makes sense. So I mean, the Touring is the wagon, and then you have the hatch, which I think is just called the Astra.
Uh-huh.
They don't have a sedan yet in Europe, which is kind of surprising to me.
Not really.
Yeah, but no.
So now that Saturn's not here, what is this going to be badged at as when it gets
everyone
here?
Everyone's talking about it being a Buick, Jesus. Which is kind of scary.
Scary, scary, scary. This is not a Buick. I mean, this should not be a Buick. It's a pretty car. It's a great looking car.
The
you know?
Rano is one thing, but like this is like, I mean, you look at it and it's yellow and it's got three doors and it's a hatch and it's
well,
just,
you know, I
it's
do
a tuner car.
Well, I do like the idea. I'm not saying this particular car, but I do like the idea of Buick having an entry level luxury vehicle.
Which is the Verano.
No, that's not. You know, talking. Something in the teens.
What? That's not luxury.
What? No, that's not luxury. You can't do that. Think about it. Look at the Mini Cooper, though, or even the Fiat 500. The Fiat 500 is like sub 20, like, and that's a little car. And
yeah.
And then you look at the Mini Cooper. I mean, you max that thing out, and you're looking at, you know, 30 grand upwards, and that's smaller than this.
Well, I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying that this is the solution to a, you know, a small luxury vehicle for Buick, or even a small.
But you're saying Subaru. Something in the teens. I mean, why not just get like a Chevy Cruze if you're talking numbers that low?
Well, it wouldn't be like that. It would be something where you would take a, you know, perhaps a Sonic, and you add luxury items to it.
like instead of leatherette, leather.
How about Hilton? How about this?
Sure. It's more than that. It's like convenience items, better quality interiors.
Badge it as a Buick. We take the GMC Granite, we badge it as a Buick, and that's going to be our entry-level luxury.
Oh, God. Like, okay, I look at this car, I look at the Astra GTC, okay, and people are talking about it being Buick, and it's just, in my mind, it makes more and more of a case that Opel or...
Opel should be a global brand. Come on, say it. Say it with me.
It should be a global brand. Yes. Or that Pontiac needs to come back.
Yeah. But at that point, you already killed Pontiac. Just bring, it's going to be, you know, just bring Opel in, please.
We have Opel. Okay, Opel is known for, or it's starting to be known for, like,
high quality and performance,
it's high quality
but mainstream.
Front-wheel drive performance. Pontiac was none of that. Pontiac was more real-wheel drive oriented, at least with their performance cars.
Come on, the G3? Come on. I mean, give me a break.
I said performance cars.
Well, the only thing that was there was the Monaro or the GTO and the G8, and that's it.
And
that's
Solstice.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody.
And it's always had a heritage of powerful rear-wheel drive cars, GTO, Trans Am, etc.
Yeah, but we don't care about heritage anymore, remember?
Or the even the Catalina. You want to go all the way back? Talk about the Catalina.
Boat.
A powerful boat.
He says a boat.
Beast of a boat.
Anyway, this we kind of strayed off topic a little bit, but the Astra GTC is going to have 5 engines. They're going to range from 100 horsepower all the way to 180 horsepower, which I'm assuming the 180 version is going to be the 1.6 liter Ecotec turbo.
Yep.
There's going to be a 1.7 liter diesel, the Ecoflex. Sounds like a rapper.
Doesn't it? Like a hippie, environmentally friendly rapper.
Yo. That's going to have the...
Ecoflex is in the cabin.
In the hood.
No, not hood, like the log forest.
Oh.
With the trees and the flowers and the animals.
Oh, that kind of cabin, yeah. The diesel is going to have the start-stop system, which is pretty cool, I think, on a diesel.
Should just start with, like, unless you're getting a performance car, it should just come with stop.
Don't be putting that start-stop stuff in my Camaro.
That's got to – think about the light, like, I mean, the kind of – like the harsh life of an engine.
You think that's going to decrease? I've been wondering about that.
It's like, you know, you stop and then you fire back up and it's like, hey, like, and if you're like at traffic light after traffic light, eesh.
Does, this is going to have the Hyperstrut front suspenders.
Yeah, Hyperstrut, and then you got the Z-Link in the back. So that is just like, that promises performance.
Does the Verano have
Hyperstrut? Experienced. I don't know.
I got to check on that.
I don't think so. But I've experienced Hyperstrut, and it is awesome.
Yep. Yeah, I experienced it on the Cross Touring trim, and that's pretty cool too. But yeah, this is not the high performance version. People were thinking that this is going to be some kind of a.
Well, we were expecting something because the rumor had it that. Something from the GTC, like a lot of people thought the GTC was going to come out with a little under 300 horsepower. Like that was going to be, you know, kind of like Opel's Halo sports car. But no, I think the OPC version is just going to be, you know, above the GTC.
Just give this thing the 2-liter turbo from the Buick Regal GS and call it a day. I mean, it doesn't have to make 270 or 295.
That 2-liter 4 is going to be in everything in 2 years. It's going to be in everything.
Yep. Let's switch gears here. We're still talking about the Frankfurt Motor Show. But this time, of course, we have, besides the Opel stuff, Chevy. Chevy didn't have anything new to announce at Frankfurt, but they did... kind of reveal for the first time on the European stage the new Malibu and the Colorado rally concept as well as the Mirai concept. So the Malibu, we already talked about this I think last time, that it's going to be obviously Chevy's flagship in Europe. Not much else to say there other than the fact that it's going to have a series of different engines compared to what we're going to get here in the States in the Malibu, as well as Canada, of course. Hilton, I never forget about you. You know that. So
51st state.
Exactly. Colorado Rally. Why is this in Europe? Why is the Colorado in Europe?
They're launching the Colorado in Europe.
No way.
Yeah, it's a global.
It's coming to Europe, but it's not coming to the U.S.
It's going everywhere except the U.S.
For now.
It'll be here.
Everyone I'm talking to, they're saying that Colorado that's being built in Thailand is not meant for U.S. shores.
You know, we don't have this on the topic list today, but that proposed or somewhat kind of going on, but not really, investment that GM is the deal that GM is working out with Wentzville. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on there? What do you think is going to get built there? They're planning on adding, if the deal goes through, 2,000 jobs at that plant. What do you think is going to get built there?
Are they adding or retaining 2,000?
No, they're adding. They're adding. Not retaining.
Next gen vans.
How about, is it really going to take an extra 2,000 people to build the next generation of something? I mean, that's just a bad product.
No, but I mean, if you're adding product, I mean,
I think they're going to add. I think they're going to add this car. I think they're going to add the Colorado.
Okay, and then you know you can put minivans on the same,
Something like it. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe they're going to have something on the same platform. Maybe you know what? I really don't know, guys.
It doesn't have to be the same platform as of course we've witnessed with the, for example, like Orion and you know,
yeah.
You have two different platform vehicles being built side by side. Oshawa.
There's room in Wentzville.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of room there.
There's also room in Spring Hill. And that's been mothballed, so I don't know what they're doing there.
Yeah.
Well, the powertrain plant next door is still up and running though.
I guess at this point they just need to pick and choose what they where and how they want to do it.
Yeah, but again, like they're sitting on, you know, those growing cash reserves, whatever, like 33.8 billion in cash, and they're not even sharing it with investors until next year. So they're being like really stingy about that cash.
Smart, because it's not theirs yet, because they haven't sold the rest of the stock.
Well, if they wanted to, they should just pay it all off, pay the government off, and then go in the fetal position.
What, all together?
Yes, it's all together.
Go in the fetal position. I'll tell you what, though. This Colorado Rally concept, I'm looking through it again. It's gorgeous. Just,
isn't it badass?
Yeah.
Well, I see. I look at the Mirai, though, and I just think of the potential of having, like, a little hot roadster.
Yep. Maybe part of the Corvette brand. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, we were talking about it before, if Corvette would ever spin off as a sub-brand or something. Yep. And you had maybe three different models. The little one and then the one that everyone likes, that front engine rear wheel drive layout with gearbox in the back, and then some mid-engine supercar. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's just a little dream of mine, and mm-hmm. I don't really have any say of things. That's just a little journalist's thoughts.
Well, we all know that GM listens to our show, and they take considerable amount of information from us and obviously structure their decisions accordingly, so... That was in code speak, that would where I would put the end sarcasm tag.
Thank you.
Cadillac
was at Frankfurt too, and they got to show off the CL.
Yes,
but that was it. I mean, and then of course everything else on display was. I mean, we've seen it, done that, been there.
Yeah, some people really don't know what Cadillac is still in Europe. I actually spoke to a friend of mine who's pretty much really into cars in Europe. You know, they don't really know much about the North American side of things. And he said, what's Cadillac? What is that? Never heard of that. So it's kind of interesting. Hmm. He drives an M3, by the way, so he knows what he's talking about. You know,
whatever.
You know, when someone drives an M3, they know what they're talking about.
Oh, I'm looking forward on hearing what the Germans think of that CL.
The Germans?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, at least the French will be able to understand what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be like, what a silly name.
I have my CL right above me.
You know what? Actually, to be honest, I, you know, that's again the choice of the name was. I think it's pretty good on behalf of the Cadillac folks, because if you're looking at the heritage of Cadillac, you know, it was Cadillac de la Monte or whatever he was. the guy who founded Detroit. It was his uncle or something like this. And the guy was Parisian. He came from France, and he was an immigrant to the United States. And so, and over time, Cadillac did have many brands that, you know, had French names, such as the Coupe de Ville and Coupe d'Elegance and that sort
Seville.
Of stuff. Yeah, Seville. So, you know, in that regard, I think it's a great way to continue tradition, and their names, which I think will Europeans would respond well to if they're truly considering launching Cadillac in Europe.
My favorite name, the Cadillac Catera.
Yeah,
it's all good.
That was everybody's favorite Cadillac.
No, I think, well, next to the Cimarron.
Yes.
Hey, that was a fine automobile.
Yeah, indeed.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to talk about some other news when we come back. But before we do that, I'd like to remind everyone that we do have the GM Authority blog that you can visit on a daily basis. You can, in fact, you can even visit it on an hourly basis or on a minute-by-minute basis. Or you can just hit the F5 button, the refresh button, every second. I mean, that's even better. But if you are new to this show and you don't know about the GM Authority blog, what we do there is, well, we cover pretty much everything we've covered on this show so far and a whole lot more in much greater detail. And we do it pretty much on an hourly, minute by minute. What is it? You know, pretty much on a daily basis with several articles a day. Right, Manoli?
Indeed.
That's when Manoli asked me to submit my TPS reports with a proper cover sheet.
Every damn day.
Alex,
well,
I'm going to need
every
you,
day.
Alex, I'm going to need you to put the right cover sheet on that article with the Cadillac CL, please. Get those calls from Manny at 2 a.m. So gmauthority.com/blog or gmauthority.com is the place to go to find the GM Authority blog. Check it out. Cadillac Q. This is some... I guess in the journalism world, we would call this what kind of journalism? Investigatory.
Investigative. We'll say investigative.
Okay, investigative journalism. I did some digging around the USPTO a couple days ago and found this gem. Cadillac applied for the Cadillac Q, C-U-E trademark. They filed it on May 25th, and pretty much the service trademark carries the following description, quote, electronic interface module sold as an integral part of a motorland vehicle for wired and wireless interface of handheld electronic devices. Filings for the Chevy MyLink and Buick GMC IntelliLink systems also had the same exact descriptions, so I think it's pretty safe to say that this is going to be Caddy's, or the name of Caddy's upcoming infotainment system. Currently, the filing states that it actually has a filing basis of 1B, which is just lawyer speak for meaning that Cadillac intends to use this trademark in the future rather than they want to use it now, which kind of carries a different priority and a different status with the USPTO, but that's beside the point. What do you guys think? Cadillac Q for the infotainment system. You like it? You hate it? Both? Manny? Mueller? Bueller? Anybody? Silence. That's the kind of treatment I get, huh? Just silence.
Huh?
Well, thanks, guys. So I guess we don't like it, huh?
I hate it. I think it's a stupid name.
Especially for Cadillac.
I mean, I wrote a comment. I forgot what I said about it. It's like I immediately thought of a better name.
Yeah, you said Cadillac Connect.
Yeah, Cadillac Connect.
But the problem is Lexus already has Lexus Connect. You know, they don't want to at least intentionally rip other people off, other automakers off. You know.
Whatever. There's a little alliteration. It sounds better. Lexus should have got like Lexus Link.
They have that actually as well.
Damn them.
Lexus Link and Lexus Connect are two kind of OnStar and I guess MyLink like systems. So they have that. I don't know. I'm not really. I mean, I'm kind of partial, so I don't know.
I don't Q. Care. I don't know. I hate it. It's Q. Cadillac Q.
How do you spell that? Q-U-E? Q-U-C-U-E? I mean, I see where there can be a lot of confusion on that.
Q the cheesy, Q the corny, Q the... I don't know. They could have went on, like, thesaurus.com and found, like, a bunch of words to pick out.
No, no. What they did, they didn't go to thesaurus. What are you, some kind of a cheapskate?
Yes.
They hired a professional marketing firm and paid them several thousand dollars to come up with this name. Are you kidding me? They don't go to thesaurus.
I bet you that marketing firm did.
I'm sure that's probably what they did. Huh. What rhymes? What starts with a C? Good.
Guys. Yeah. I like to say, like, guys, we need something catchy and attractive and it sounds technologically advanced for Cadillac. It's their new infotainment system. What are we going to call it? Guys. Hold on. We're on thesaurus.com. Sorry.
That's probably how it goes. Which reminds me, I'm in the wrong business. Cadillac ATS, some spy shots at the Nürburgring.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
I think it's coming along very well. I think this was the V edition that we saw this time around.
I think.
I don't know, because the video that we...
There was a lot of brakes, a lot of big brakes there.
Yeah, big brakes, very low front fascia. Mm-hmm. And big, huge exhaust pipes in the back.
Yeah, I noticed that. Those are pretty big. Yeah, two of them. They were pretty narrow together, at least from what I'm used to.
I'm just wondering, like, the guys who get these spy photos, you know, this all happens on one street, you know, because the GM Development Center in the Nürburgring area is like 14 minutes away from the actual ring. So... You know, these spy photographers, they just, like, sit out in the street, like, drink some beer, and then whenever a car comes, they just shoot it?
Yep. They do that. They do that in the desert, too.
Huh. Cool.
What a life. Again, we're in the wrong business.
Yes. Man, I'm making a lot of life choices now. I mean, I'm realizing some lifelong mistakes that I've made so far, so stick with me here. Bear with me. I don't know. I mean, I think that it's pretty pretty close to a couple of renderings that we know, that we've seen before. You know, but for all intents and purposes, this thing is going to look great. The only thing that I don't, I'm kind of not a fan of, and this is probably just going to be my own quirk, nothing that anybody else probably will even notice, but the side mirrors, those mirrors seem to have this plastic kind of like surround around them. The attachment point is plastic. And that's just not very, you know, luxury, fitting of luxury vehicles.
Yeah, that's not very sexy.
No. And the other thing is that most cars in that, you know, the compact luxury vehicles already, like the Lexus IS, like the TSX, like the G. Well, the G is kind of in between. They have those mirrors mounted on the body for better aerodynamics, and the ATS still keeps them mounted to like the A-pillar area. So, you know, just two little things that I've noticed. The other thing I noticed was the spoiler. It's kind of got a built-in spoiler, like similar to the CTS coupe.
Yeah, the deck lid spoiler with the rear. It kind of like
point comes
tails
to a
out.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice
it's pretty
and sexy.
Cool. Pretty cool. You saw those renderings, right?
Yeah. Yep.
What do you think?
I think it's nice. I mean, we already saw the car. I mean, if you look at one of our posts from maybe 2 weeks ago or so, that photo that Caddy released for the actual, you know, of the CT or of the ATS kind of, you know, blacked out.
Yeah, it was blacked out. And
well, we have another photo where I did some Photoshop work and kind of unblacked it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we kind of know what the side profile is going to look like, but, you know, that's the car. So I think it's coming along very well. There was a video that came out a couple of days ago as well when Mark Royce and a couple of Cadillac or GM engineers were driving this thing around Milford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the car looks promising from what we've seen inside. I think it's going to be, you know, I hope it's going to be killer. So
the only bad thing we've heard about this thing, like rumors wise, is that it might have weight issues when it launches.
Yeah, nobody cares about that. I figured it out. Only a small portion of those people, of the people who buy this stuff, really care about it. I mean,
yeah, connoisseurs.
I'll tell you what. I mean,
it's going to be less of an issue with Cadillac buyers compared to, you know, all the complainers about the Camaro. Honestly, like, you know, most Cadillac buyers, you know, they couldn't care less.
Yeah. I know this one particular person who shall rename genderless and nameless. Who
is it because they have no gender?
No, they
why don't they have a gender,
this
Alex?
This person has a gender.
Because
I don't
want
to single them out because they may be listening. And
oh, it's a him.
No, I said, what? What? Did I mess up just now?
Yes.
Nevertheless, this person, who shall rename nameless, I think that's the only holdout I have now at this point. They have a 328, one of the new ones, right? And they don't even know if it's a four cylinder, if it's a six. They don't even know that. If they don't even know that, and it's a BMW buyer, you know, you think it's a little bit more performance oriented. You know, you think the weight would be completely irrelevant. You know, they wouldn't even care to think about it, let alone know about it.
You could tell them the weight numbers, and they wouldn't. They'd be like, "Is that heavy or light? I don't know what that means."
3 million pounds, four tons.
This is a 4-ton car. Do you know that? Is that good? Yeah, man, that's great.
I wonder if salesmen do that. You know, just to mess around with some people. You know, this car weighs 5 tons, and they're talking about like a Sonic.
You know how
you can
light
walk
that is?
You can walk into. A lot of sales, a lot of dealerships, and tell the salesman it's 5 tons, and they'll
nod their head and say, "Yes, I agree."
Yeah.
What do you think people are going to say?
They're 100% serious.
Or Sonic salesman is like, "This car has 10 airbags." Oh my God! It's like, what are you going to do with 10 airbags?
Well, it is still missing that cauliflower airbag that we've been talking about.
No, it has that.
It what?
Yeah.
Is that the 11th? The invisible one? The optional one?
Yeah, it's an option.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, 10 airbag stock. You can get the 11th cauliflower airbag.
580 horsepower. That's how much the 2012 ZL1 is going to make. Official numbers.
Well, this isn't enough. This more at 11.
Official.
Yeah, hang on a sec. I just want to say one comment around the ATS.
Oh,
and that
man.
Is, just relax.
Oh, man.
And that is that I really hope that, you know, a two-door coupe is coming.
It's coming.
And a convertible's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
They're all coming.
Well, they haven't been axed yet. We'll say that.
Okay.
We'll say that.
The wagon also may be coming for Europe.
I saw a 3 Series wagon the other day.
That's a rarity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I was caught off guard.
I was like, whoa, I needed to pull over and take a picture.
Yeah, it was like when I saw the E63 AMG in St. Clair, that wagon.
Yeah.
I
sent you before. Those are so good.
I know. That.
You can go from 0 to 60 in 5.4 seconds and fit like 5 bodies in the trunk.
That 5.4, that's kind of slow, I figure, for AMG.
Oh, maybe it's faster. I don't know. Maybe it's the last generation.
I mean, well, the CTS-V wagon will do it in 4 flat.
Hmm. I guess I'm counting the bodies, the extra bodies in the trunk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you have that many bodies, it'll slow down.
Couple of people.
You and your Russian mafia friends.
Hey, don't talk about us that way.
Oh, I'm sorry. You in first person rush and go and take the tank and go blow up the McDonald's.
Listen, from now on, you'll refer to me in the third person.
Oh, by the way, I told I had a little Twitter conversation with Joel Iwanek about when he went to Russia, and he said, you know, you're not gonna believe this, but they actually have
people?
Escalades. No, they have Escalades over there. A lot of Cadillac
Escalades. Oh, yeah.
I said, don't go near the ones that are parked on the sidewalk.
Yeah, exactly. See, you're learning something, man. Yeah. There's the Escalade, the G-Wagon, and I don't know if the Americans in us have heard about these, but the Mitsubishi Pajero, those are all like the mafiosi cars. Yeah. Mitsubishi Pajero, especially.
I feel like all those Escalades are nicked.
Maybe.
I mean, granted that the Escalade is, you know, wasn't on the top of the list for hot cars for thieves.
But that said, what you have to keep in mind with the Escalade, I mean, obviously, yeah, it's a pretty popular car among thieves and such. But it also is built in Russia.
Oh, is it really?
Mm-hmm. It's built.
I didn't know it was available in Russia.
It's built in Kaliningrad, which is outside of. Say it.
English, please.
Okay, I'll say it in English. Kaliningrad.
Thank you.
Is that good enough for you?
Yes. You don't see me going off in Greek to the point where people can't pronounce
Kaliningrad
words,
is very simple. You say it the way it's spelled.
Kaliningrad.
Kaliningrad. Kaliningrad. Very simple. Everything runs in ends in grad, okay? It doesn't really, though.
Okay, so, hey, weren't we talking about the Camaro?
Can we talk about the 580 horsepower now? Yes?
Sure.
Okay. Well, Hilton's very excited, if I can tell. 580 horsepower.
Gotta go buy a new Camaro.
At 6,000 RPM. 556 pound-feet of torque at 4,200 RPM. That comes from the supercharged LSA engine, which is, by the way.
Those numbers are a little, I mean, the revolution numbers are a little high.
A little high RPM. for the, I didn't even know that the.
Even for the torque, 4,200,
I didn't know that thing could rev that high.
6,000?
Yeah.
It can't really go any higher, man.
I know.
That thing's going to be screaming.
Yeah.
I've hit my rev limiter tons of times.
The thing is going to be screaming. Supercharged LSA engine.
We know the specs. We know the specs.
Yeah.
But here's my question. First of all, do you think the CTS-V owners will peeve that it makes more power?
No.
No? I think that this, I don't know, when you've got a car like the CTS-V, and you got to give it an update now that the new M5 is coming out, and that's got more horsepower and newer tech.
The CTS will get no updates until the end of its life cycle.
Ain't that a bitch?
No updates. We know this for kind of a sort of a fact.
This is, I mean, and this has got all the new software too. It's got the new magnetic ride control. Uh-huh. It's got Michelin Pilot Sport Cup Zero pressure tires, which were on the new the 2012 ZR1 and Z06. Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of stuff. 7.24 pounds per horsepower. That's awesome. Everyone knows the GTR, right? That's better than
the GTR.
That's better than the GTR.
Yep.
I think that's better than the Porsche 911 Carrera.
Yeah. Only doctors and dentists buy those.
I don't know. I don't think dentists have that much of an imagination to really venture outside of Porsche.
Yep.
But okay, so 580 horsepower. Again, all the new suspension tech.
Oh, it's got the new track controls as well.
Yeah, the traction control. Who the hell is going to buy a Z06?
At this point, I mean, it's
somebody
who
wants somebody wants a car that's 600 pounds lighter.
This is, and it's coming with track stuff, Sparco seats, roll cage.
Here's the deal with this. I mean, you look at the Z06, right? And obviously, it is a pretty much a niche vehicle. Of course, we knew this. But the thing about the Z06 is that it's tunable. Whereas this thing, it's also tunable, but the ceiling is a lot lower.
Well, it's coming out of the factory, like, assuming that you're not going to mod it anymore, but it's track ready.
Right.
Well, right. There were spy photos of a ZL1 body car, and it had Sparco seats, a roll cage, etc. You know, some speculate that is going to be the Z28. but no one can really say for sure yet.
I think that's the next generation GMC truck you're talking about.
Of course. They're using the Zeta body.
Yep.
You know, the nice thing about this Camaro is there's a ton of engineering in it. And, you know, a lot of people knock it for the fact that it doesn't really look that different from, you know, your Camaro SS, for example.
I thought it was going to look more crazy.
Yeah, well, there's... Yeah,
what
know,
do you
like,
guys I mean, want? What do you want? Like, you want, like, a 10-foot spoiler in the back?
And 10-foot spoilers and rocket launchers.
You're such a kid.
So?
Rocket launchers?
Yeah, I said it.
It just doesn't look a lot different from a Camaro SS. I mean, I'm not knocking the look at all, but you know, it's certainly going to sound better. And you're buying this car really for the amount of engineering and thought that's gone into it. I mean, it is. You know, they say 40% of this car is new compared to Camaro SS, and it is, you know, underneath the sheet metal. I mean, it is really, they've really gone to town with respect to engineering on it and performance. So, you know, if you want, the greatest handling performing Camaro of all time, this is it. This is going to be it right now as it stands. Not saying that there's not a Z28 that's going to come out. Now, as for the Z06, personally, you know, it does have a niche. The one thing about the Z06 is that, you know, it was engineered from the beginning to be, an all-out race car. And it is a naturally aspirated 427 cubic inch engine. And so that in itself, and the fact that it's 600 pounds lighter than this ZL1. Mm-hmm. It's a very different car.
Hey,
I mean,
Hilton, why don't you say ZL1? Just curious.
Well, I know like people, because everybody's going to say, what's a Z?
Why does Al Oppenheiser do that in a video? He starts off with Z, and then he ends the video with Z.
No, he was in Oshawa at the time, and so I guess, you know, he had American and Canadian audience, so he just said them both.
Okay.
You know, and I think the real question is, when did Americans start saying Z from Z? Because the Brits say Z.
Yeah, and Americans use the same back-ass words, metric system or whatever it's called, imperial system, like miles.
Yeah, but now Americans are it's the only country that uses that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is England
there's no other country in the world? There's no other country in the world that uses.
I think England likes to bounce back between old school and new school.
Here's my thing about. I mean, we're talking about the Z06, right? As a comparison to the ZL1.
Sure.
Here's my way of putting it. When you drive a ZL1, you sit on the car. You know, you drive the car. You sit on the car. Mm-hmm. When you drive the Z06, you sit in the car. The car spins around you. It's a different driving experience. Mm-hmm. It's just totally different vehicles. Totally different amounts of performance.
It's definitely going to have a different feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, a race car driver is going to feel the weight of that ZL1. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and not saying that it's not a great car, because it will be a fantastic car. But, you know, when you're looking at... you know, a true race car, and certainly with Europeans, their perception of a true race car is a Corvette, you know, where they look at this Camaro and it's going to be, you know, they're going to, now that's a typical American muscle car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an American car. Like, Europeans don't get the concept of, you know, having a 2-ton car with, you know, 580 horsepower. You know, they just like, what are you doing with that
car? Well, I don't even know if they don't get it, or they don't get it because they have not been exposed to it yet. The Camaro has not been available in Europe. It will be now. Same thing with the Mustang. You know, it's not been available in Europe until next year. So I don't know if it's whether they don't get it or whether they just haven't had the chance to try the Elixir yet. But
well, the whole thing about you know how we like to fry the rubber off our tires, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, you know, all of that loud noise and just the beast, you know, they don't understand that concept, and you know, we live and die for that. You know, there's nothing like, you know, if I, you know, I love power sliding my Camaro, mm-hmm, onto a street. I, yep, just, it's, you know, there's nothing like it.
No.
And you turn all the controls off, all the nanny stuff off, and you just rip out of a street and run it sideways for 100 feet.
I just want to say I love doing the same thing with my Cruise.
Yeah.
And actually, I've tried. But I can't make the wheel spin. It's not possible.
Well, and so, you know, that's a different mentality than, you know, a Corvette. For me, a Corvette is much more classier than a Camaro. And, you know, a lot of people know I'm a Camaro collector. So, no, I don't have any Corvettes. But I just look at it as a classier, like a Z06 is a much classier car. And certainly if I had the choice between the two and I was going to a track, give me the vet keys, please.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about, you know, I mean, the ZL1, obviously there's a fairly big aftermarket tuner segment around both cars. But, you know, the ZL1, there's only so much you can do. And there's kind of a low ceiling with what you can do with that LSA. Since it is already supercharged. Imagine if you stick a supercharger on that Z06.
Well, I mean, you could still do a lot with it. I mean, you put on a different pulley.
No, of course, but the ceiling is a lot lower, you know, now that the supercharger is already on there.
Well, yeah, compared to Z06, where it's like you got a 7-liter V8 naturally, yep, aspirated. You look what Zenvo did with the ST1, over 1,000 brake horsepower. Mm-hmm. Or not, I don't know, brake horsepower, still, that's insane. Or even look what Hennessy just did with the Venom GT. That is essentially whatever is left of it. Its engine is an LS9, and it's putting out over 1,200 horsepower. And it goes from 70 to 215, like, faster than you can blink and say, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I, you know, like you guys were alluding to, I think, you know, ZL1 Camaro is something that is, you know, right out of the showroom, ready to go. And, you know, there is no tinkering to be had with this car. It's to be enjoyed exactly the way it is. Where, you know, a Z06 is a race car as well, but, you know, there's a lot more ceiling for customization or, you know, playing around with the drivetrain. You know, the one thing about the LSA, and, you know, I don't know how easy it would be to put, you know, a bigger supercharger on it or stroke it or anything of that sort of nature, but, you know, like I said, like the LS7 is designed to, you know, to be a race engine, you know, so you can't really compare the two. And I think the two are not going to attract the same people at all. You know, you're not going to, I know there was talk at GM, you know, when the Camaro first came out that, you know, it took a lot of Corvette sales, but you know, at the time, you know, like a Corvette, you know, LS3 compared to a Camaro LS3, you know, why would you pay the premium for the Corvette when you're getting the same power with the Camaro?
Right.
Well, you know, in this case, you're not really getting, there's no Corvette to match this ZL1.
No.
There is no LSA Corvette.
Not yet, at least.
Well, not yet, but, mm-hmm. Well, and what's that?
I said it could fit. I mean, honestly, it's like your LS9 and your LSA are pretty much the same engine, just a few different tweaks. But anyway, we got to wrap this up or move on or something.
I think we're done for tonight, guys. I want to thank both of you for being here, and I want to thank our audience for sticking with us for a good an hour and almost 20-25 minutes or so. So thanks to all of you, and as we do at the end of pretty much every show, we want to welcome any GM employee to join us here on GM Authority Weekly. And in the meantime, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/GM Authority. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/GM Authority for that. And we really appreciate those reviews in the iTunes store, so keep those coming. You can just type in GM Authority Weekly in the iTunes store search box there and leave us a review, whether positive, whether it's positive, whether it's negative, whether you want to put things in there in ways that we can improve. We're all for that. So just leave us a review, and that helps us a lot with the show and helps us get more listeners. And that's something that, of course, we always want. Of course, last but not least, you can find the show notes for this show as well as all the other weekly shows at weekly.gmauthority.com. And you can also write into podcast@gmauthority.com with any questions, suggestions, comments, as well as call us at 313-355-3GMA. That's all I've got, because the general has been served. Please rate the show in the iTunes store, head on over to iTunes, and search for GM Authority Weekly. Is anyone